This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances. We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
So today, we are back with the We Are What We Overcome, the podcast. And we've been thinking about how we're exposed to everything that's going on all of the time nowadays. We've had a bit of a conversation amongst ourselves, haven't we, in the run-up to this episode, trying to narrow down exactly what it is that we're trying to get at here. And that's what we've settled on. Nowadays, for various reasons, we are more exposed to knowing about lots of different things that are going on all of the time. So we're going to talk a bit about that, and let's see where we end up with it. But before we do that, let us do what we always do. Let's check in. So, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, I think. I'm pretty good. I've got the weekend off mostly, and it's secondhand clothes shopping this afternoon, so that's always a bargain. I'm looking for something pink for a number of reasons which I could go into, but it'll be boring, so basically a birthday thing. Yeah, but I'm good. How's Nick?
I'm all right. I've been mostly ill this week, which has kind of sucked. Not as badly as my other half, who's been much more ill than I have. So I've had the pleasure of being unwell, but not as unwell as someone, which makes you feel slightly better. So that's okay. I still have kind of a cold in my head, which is slowly fading away, but has left me a bit confused because I really hate being incapacitated and like a big sinus cold, just, you know how it just fills your head up and pushes all your ability to think out, somehow just like squeeze out your ears like you're a mop a top hair shop man. And I really resent that, and it made me really both really grumpy and really kind of upset that I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even read books. It was very frustrating. So I've just stared at the TV, and I knew I wasn't very happy because I started rewatching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the beginning, which is a sure sign that I wasn't feeling great. Although not too bad, because I've been really bad. I just restarted watching Deep Space Nine. So I have, you know, I have a scale that I can measure by my mental health based on what TV I dive back into for comfort. So that's all right. So I'm coming out of that. I'm feeling a little bit more competent, which helps. And I feel a lot better when I feel vaguely competent about being able to deal with my own life and the lives of others around me. It's all right. How about you, Mr. Wiz?
I'm all right. I love the way that you check in and explain where you're at sometimes. It's always it's always very, very random, but also kind of strangely specific as well. So
thank you. I love that. Maybe.
Yeah, thank you. I think. Yeah. I'm good. Very, very busy. I just feel very busy. Everything's very full right now. So actually I'm looking forward to the prospect of just taking a bit of time out for 30, 40 minutes and just chatting with nice people. So
when are you doing that?
Straight after this conversation, I'm gonna meet up with a couple of people.
That makes sense though, but I mean that seems highly pertinent to our topic, really, doesn't it?
It kind of does, doesn't it?
You know, the life is full.
I mean, I'm talking about just being really busy with all of the things in my smaller circle. But actually, there's a lot going on in the wider circle, hasn't there? And there has been for a good few years, which kind of inspired our topic of how nowadays we are much more aware of all of the complex things that are going on all of the time.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a couple of bits that way. One aspect of that is the degree of exposure that we have. You know, we're sort of exposed and choose to expose ourselves in different ways. And some of that is not forced on us, but is an aspect of how we interact with the world, which is via technology and stuff these days. You know, 24-hour news kicking in changed all of that. Wasn't that the first Gulf War that brought in 24-hour news? And, you know, suddenly everything was all day, every day, you know, rather than just tuning into the news at 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whatever, which would be your 10-minute slice of information from around the world. Now it's fractional updates and repetition all day, every day. And if you're using the internet in any form, even if it's just, you know, Googling something, there's always pop-up of news things that are happening. Yeah, you were looking for a pink shirt. Are you aware that people are dying? And it's really hard to not engage with some part of that.
That's true, especially what you said about the fractional updates, actually. I hadn't considered that element. Go on, Matt.
There's also an element to it that if you turn it off, it's like you don't care. Do you know what I mean? It's if you actually hit that dial after 5 hours of listening to it, if you turn it off for 10 minutes, then, you know, you're a bad person.
Well, yeah, and what might you miss out in that 10 minutes? Imagine how many tedious reportings of Twitter updates there could be during that 10 minutes. You know, the things that you don't care about and don't matter, that aren't even news, that are like, we've heard there's a thing happening, or we've heard a little bit more about that thing, and we've heard a little bit more that says the original thing that we heard was wrong, and then 20 minutes later, the whole thing didn't happen. Sorry, you were stressed out for 20 minutes listening to these fractional updates about a thing that wasn't real. That's the sort of stuff that I think about that makes me crazy.
And I suppose, you know, we could be thinking about the big significant things that are happening in the world right now. But in the same way, just as you were saying, Nick, it's from different angles here, just how social media can become a bit of an echo chamber, can't it? Mm. Whether that's about worldwide topics, but even if it's just about just kind of seeing the same kind of attitudes, opinions, or viewpoints about whatever, just being echoed back at you. I think that's an interesting idea, that this is a lot of who you connect with on social media dictates the kind of information you get kind of at you all of the time.
That's certainly true. I mean, a lot of what I see on social media, because I don't use Twitter anymore, is Facebook. And it's mostly memes and things that I don't care about, which I find really frustrating. Like, I don't care about your memes at all. They bore me and I don't care. And yet I'm like looking... It makes me wonder why I'm using Facebook at all. And I think, you know, when I'm like doom scrolling and feeling, you know, vaguely sad, I think what I'm looking for is the ability to connect with someone in a superficial way that feels briefly meaningful. You know, like when you scroll down, you see a picture of, you know, your mate's kid and you're like, oh, that's nice. I'm glad that my friend has a child, is happy. And I can note that by saying, yay, without really having to interact. But I feel like I've briefly been part of a larger conversation, a part of a larger world in a way that has no demands or implications on me. So equally, I find it very frustrating when I'm trying to find that brief moment of connection and all I get is a picture of some wrestler throwing a chair over a desk. And this has failed at its most basic thing, which is to connect me to the world in a trivial way. And now it's just made me angry and sad. I don't know.
Well, no, that's an interesting point. I mean, that's the other angle of all of this. You know, we talked about the general topic being how we are exposed to much more than we ever have been. In one way, that's a really good thing, isn't it? We have this opportunity to be more connected to more people more than we ever have done.
That's true.
I guess it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
You would never
be able to keep as much track on maybe what all your school friends are up to nowadays as you can now, for example. But I suppose the flip side of that is that this is a whole other element, I guess, but the double-edged sword of social media, how it has the capacity to connect and inspire and motivate, and but also maybe bring about a lot of ill feelings and comparison and measuring and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing, isn't it? You know, if you think about if we think about your relationship with other people aside of social media and everything else, how many people can you actually have a sort of meaningful, knowing what they're doing, going on with conversations with and a relationship with? I don't know. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, pick a figure out there, 10 or 15. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a lot, is it? Whereas on the internet, you have 3,000 followers or 3,000 friends or whatever the name of them is these days. And that's really hard, isn't it? You know, and again, you know, I suppose, which sounds really cruel, but it's not meant like that, is that the more people that you connect with, the more chance there is of some news item that day that is either good or horrific, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I always experience that as a kind of... a thinning, you know, the more that we spread ourselves as if we were some kind of tawdry butter product around the world. Yeah, the thinner we are, but, you know, necessarily greasier, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I find that not just...
becomes more diluted.
Yeah, you know, how much of yourself can you put into each of these interactions? That's why I like the superficial like. I haven't really put anything of myself in there, but I've noted that I care about a thing. That's quite pleasant. But, you know, it's a bit like, I know your life is horribly busy at the moment, but you're out, if you're out like 3, 4, 5 nights a week, you start to feel that thinness. And you're like, I'm exhausted through this activity of interacting with people who I might like, but I can't think about all the time. Mm. And Facebook mostly reminds me of all the people I don't think about all the time. Like, oh, I really like you, but I haven't talked to you in 6 years. I don't know if you're living, I guess. And I was like, it's kind of selfish because that makes me feel bad that I haven't thought about them. If I were with them and I saw them and I was near them, I would, I suspect, feel that same intensity of affection and friendship that I, you know, associate with them. But I can't maintain that with 400 people. And over the course of a week when I'm seeing maybe 150 people through different things, whew, by the end of it, I'm like, look, you all seem really cool, but I wish none of you were here. This is it's too much information. It's too much exposure to the world.
Yeah,
or it is for me. I know some people really buzz off that, but they must break at some point.
I was just going to say, well, part of what you said made me think as well about how we are exposed to all of this information, whether it be about people, the world, things that are happening, things that are going on in our community, things that are going on in our family with our friends, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's a question mark about the kind of how that information is presented, how accurate it is, and what we do with it, and what the impact is on us. And I guess that's why we brought up this topic, isn't it? Because actually, what are we looking at? We're probably looking at, okay, so that's the case. So what's the potential impact of that on us? Is that what we're saying? Yeah, that's what we're getting at.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I know.
We talk about mental health and kind of that's at the center of everything.
I mean, one of the things that brought it up for me, and I mentioned to you before, is that, you know, the situation with Ukraine at the moment. And I found myself the other night waking up and a plane was flying over. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, is that a plane or is that a missile? And I was like, it was horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously nowhere near as horrific as actually what's being dealt with in Ukraine and other places. But it was just, and that's by that constant feed that I've been listening to. And I do find it really difficult to turn it off because I'm genuinely interested in what's happening. Mm. I just 24 hours a day is, you know.
There's the danger. You care too much, Matt. Mm. Imagine if we didn't have the internet and we weren't told anything about what's happening in that conflict. You might spot it on like page 5 of a newspaper. And it would be exactly the same, you know, for the people in that situation. It would be precisely the same, similar as it is. And yet, because we're told more about it, it gets in your head more, doesn't it? But I guess you're also a child of the Cold War, Matt. I wonder if, like, my other half, who lived up near a nuclear submarine construction facility, they used, in the 80s and 90s, they did nuclear drills where you'd go and hide under the desk at school because, you know, you got nukes literally half a mile down the road, and that's really scary stuff. And
they used to make really strong desks, Nick, didn't they? I mean, like proper desks,
these days. Much better than a single mattress that you could place over the doorway. No, these are very good desks. And she was saying, you know, this all this stuff coming back up again, it's like that feels an awful lot like having to do that at school. Because that was a similar thing that they were constantly exposed to. For me, I saw Threads in the 80s, and that was terrifying. If you haven't seen that, it's a nuclear strike film on like Yorkshire Town. I can't remember exactly where it is. Sheffield, it might be. That's horrifying. But that was about it. And it wasn't omnipresent to me in the same way that the current conflict is omnipresent for you, Matt.
Well, there's the flip side of this as well, desensitization. So, you know, you're just talking about that. I suppose if I've not been in a position to kind of hear about shocking things, when a shocking thing is portrayed to me, I'm shocked by it.
Hmm.
If I'm getting information about this stuff all of the time, I suppose it has the potential to do two things. Either feed me with so much more information and knowledge and potential of danger and concern that actually I am worried or panicked or kind of on edge or whatever. But I guess it could also go the other way, couldn't it? I could become desensitized to it all, or kind of a bit too trivial or kind of casual about stuff that is horrific and is happening to people.
That makes a lot of sense. I suspect it happens on all sorts of levels. Yeah, that sounds very similar to the conversations that we have about, you know, politics and people like, oh, they're all liars and thieves. You know, that's just become normal now because
people just become complacent and just like, oh, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's very hard to escape that when there are no use cases of anything actually happening about that that really matter.
And I guess in both cases, that's a defense mechanism, isn't it? Am I ever going to get worried and go into kind of alert, hypervigilant mode? Because I don't want something bad to happen to me, or it's too much to be worried and I'm switched on for everything. So actually, it's safer to just step away from it and switch off from it.
Yeah, and I feel that. I feel that with, you know, we I don't come from a big family. We come from, it's quite a small family, so it's not one of those huge gossipy families where everything is about, you know what Nora's doing, you know what Bob's doing. My God, we have very little of that. But even a small amount of that, where I'm like, I can't do anything about this, and this doesn't affect my relationship with that person, and I don't understand why you're telling me. Even that, I just start to blank out. And, you know, it's, I think the same is true for the news. Maybe I just have a smaller capacity for actually taking the stuff in and holding it in my head. And so I just start just dropping it. I don't think it's especially that, maybe it's not that I don't care. Maybe it is that I don't care. Not sure. But I think some of it I can't do anything about. I can't use this information.
I think that's part of the issue, you know, that you get told all this stuff, all this like turmoil of what's going on, and then there's nothing you can do about it.
Which is, and in, just, in previous episodes, Matt, you have landed in that place about lots of different topics, and I've been struck by your ability to do that on a few occasions, and whether that is a defense or whether you're able to comfortably sit there sometimes, or maybe it's different for different things, but many times I've heard you say, Matt, but I've just come to the realization that I can't do anything about it, and so I just kind of accept it and let go of it. I've heard you say that before, but maybe you can't do that all the time. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's, for me, I mean, lots of people say, I had a friend say it the other day, actually, and he seems to have it as his mantra automatically. But I think for me, I need to actually go through it a bit and then realize I can't do anything about it. And then
arrive at that conclusion. Yeah.
Each time.
Yes. Okay.
But that makes sense, because you should do it each time, shouldn't you? It shouldn't be like a blanket. Oh, there's information. Screw that. I'm not taking any of this in. This is too much.
Very rarely is a fixed kind of autopilot response like helpful. We need to be able to have the ability to take each situation for its own merit, I think. And that's something to learn, isn't it? And I'm still learning to do that, I think. We as human beings are kind of designed to make things fit into little categories and have systems for things so that we don't have to keep thinking about it all, and so that we can make sense of things. But yeah, we slip into autopilots, and the autopilot doesn't necessarily always fit every single instance of something. I don't know.
That's true. And also autopilot by kind of design is non-conscious, isn't it? You know, it's not a thought through thing. You know, it's, you know, from that you leave your house on the way to work and don't remember anything about the journey to get there. That's which is very, very common, very normal, but also horrifying. You know, no idea what you've passed, who you've nearly killed or whatever. You know, we sort of assume that had there been something exceptional, that would have jumped out and we would have noticed it. But I don't think there's any necessity to that. And if we're taking that approach with all aspects of our life, then we're not aware of the people around us. We're not aware of other people's needs or our needs even. You know, if we're in an automatically off state, that seems very dangerous to me, and seems like we're all kind of barely human if we're doing that, if we're not aware and we're not consciously interacting with the world. It's an understandable defense mechanism, and I guess we can all be pushed to the point where we can't absorb any information or deal with anything. You know, I think we've probably all been in extremis of depression, grief, or whatever way. Like,
I can't. About two extremes, haven't we? There, all right. So we are in this world where we're exposed to so much all of the time, and I guess the two extreme responses to that is to get wrapped up in everything because of all this information and start to fall apart because of it. Maybe it's not always falling apart, but just getting wrapped up in it all in some way, and that having some kind of impact. Or the alternative is to have to check out because there's just too much of it. Is there an in-between? Is there a balanced, blended approach?
I think there's part of it as well, that even if you can check and realise there's nothing you can do about it, and so you try to move past it in that way, it's still at the heart, or, you know, it still affects the foundation of what you're doing each day. You know, I a number of times I found myself thinking, oh, should I get some more of this and more of that? And I think it's partly like a, you know, like a stockpiling thing or something. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? It's just thinking, oh, I better get some more of this.
Oh, how much loo roll do you have now, Matt? Because you don't need to keep it anymore. It's fine.
Loo roll.
You know, I have to say, if I was going to run out of stuff, loo roll would not be the paracetamol whiskey. That's the important stuff. The loo roll.
That's a, you could, that's a top combo, Matt. Top combo. but we've talked about that, you know, that exposure, and, you know, we've had a couple of years of that being very intense, of having daily death rates and stuff, and that was very hard to escape from. We talked about that at length, and the same is true for, you know, everything that's going on now over in Ukraine and all that sort of jazz. And I think what we can do is we can filter it to a certain extent. We can impose filters on ourselves, but they have to be self-imposed, because no one else is doing it for us. That's the awful thing. Yeah. You know, there's no restraint in the media. Facebook is designed to present terrible, possibly false information to you. You know, that's its whole structure is driven towards that. So I've seen more friends than ever check out of Facebook, which is sad, because it's a social media for old people like us. So they should be on it, because that's the place we're going to interact with them. So that's sad. But, you know, they've chosen to avoid that entire feed of stuff. And that makes sense. Yeah, my phone only lets me look at Instagram, Gmail, and Facebook for 10 minutes an hour. I can disable that, but I can, you know, I've chosen to put that on so that I don't just flick through these things endlessly. And that's kind of useful. I can obviously just open my laptop and do the same here, but, you know, it's a barrier to doing that. Similarly, yeah. I don't read the Sun. I don't read the Mail. These are awful sources of information, and they're stressful to even look at. So I already choose not to look at some of these things.
So there's something about trying to take control of what information you're exposed to, but then maybe what you do with that information as well, isn't there? And this is whether we're talking about interactions with technology and social media, or how we access the wider media or the mass media. But also, I guess it could apply to, you know, what gossip and conversations we do and don't get embroiled into. This could apply for all sorts of things, couldn't it? So we seem to be landing in that, okay, we do live in this world with all of this information, and we're all so much more connected, and it has the potential for harm either way. And so this is maybe what we think is the best approach or response to it, is to start to try and get a little bit selective and in control of it.
Yeah, I mean, that also feels responsible, doesn't it, as an approach. But there's a lot of talk always about, you know, toxic friendships and toxic relationships. You know, we always have those friends who just fill our heads with nonsense, and family members too. You know, and it's harder, but we can select not to talk to those people or to listen to those people who, as it turns out, for whatever reason, make our lives, I was going to say joyful, but that gets into that Marie Kondo nonsense, and that makes me angry. So I don't want to go there. negatively impact our worldview. I don't know. Or more importantly, our view of ourselves, not our worldview, but how we feel about ourselves and how we interact with the world. That's where the harm comes in. So we can filter real and internet, which is also real, but, you know, real and, I don't know, virtual information flows, I guess. How you feel about that afterwards, I don't know. That's not good when you cut out someone who's been really damaging. That still leaves a scar of sorts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's a tough world to interact with. What do you do, Matt? Do you just wallow in it? Do you just soak in it until you go crazy?
Pretty much.
Just pile loads of whiskey and paracetamol.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes me time. I mean, it just seems to be loads of the time that, you know, I have a view on something. It's generally not represented by mainstream media, and there are times when if you put forward that view, then, you know, it's seen as really negative, or, you know, something that shouldn't be said. And so there's quite a lot of pressure in that sense. And, you know, you find that online quite a lot, that if you dare say a certain thing, you know, I suppose the thing with Ukraine at the moment, if you dare say anything about negative about NATO at all whatsoever, you know, then you're, you know, I don't know what you're, you should be shot at dawn or something. And I find that quite difficult to deal with, because although there's not much you can do about it, it's pretty sad that that's where we are. And I think that's part of the issue with all this information, because you constantly feel like you're blasted with, this is the answer. No. This is the answer. Do you know what I mean? And I find that difficult to deal with.
Yes, I think I know what you mean. Because actually none of these situations are black and white. There's an awful lot of dark and light gray in them. But that's very hard to present in a compact and accessible way. So black and white's much easier. So we just get a ton of black and white instead. And so much of it, we don't get an opportunity to look at the grays in there.
And I don't know whether we've touched upon this before, but that's where a lot of this division element comes in, isn't it? You know, so I think this is related to other things we might have discussed at different times, but because of all of this information all of the time, and because of the ease of getting involved in the conversation or whatever, and because things are made black and white, we just have a load of division, don't we?
And they're just just inserted into your brain as well, though. These aren't things that we've necessarily thought through. These are black and white points that have been inserted into our skulls, because it's very hard to hold a maybe opinion. You know, if you're like, did you like Superman or whatever? You're like, yeah, he's great. No, I didn't like that at all. Very few people go, well, it was okay. And, you know, I liked, you know, no one, it feels like people don't have a nuanced view of it. It's like, well, I thought it was very well directed, but poorly acted. People don't hold that and describe that.
There's a great review online of Batman yesterday, which I thought was superb. Not for the fact of the review, because I've not seen the film, but just as a statement, it said it was a solid 5 out of 10. That's
oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that's completely unhelpful. I'm going to go see that tomorrow. I'm looking forward to losing 3 hours of my life to a film that and a story that I've seen at least a dozen times.
I will not be watching it.
There's a lot of rain, apparently.
A lot of rain, great. I enjoy the miserable, grimy quality of DC movies. But struggling to find nuance in. We've been trained, and I think we're trained as humans to have strong positive or negative views, because you can do something with a positive or negative view. You can't act on do you want to eat? Maybe. Well, do you want food or don't you want food? You can't have that maybe in the middle. It doesn't exist. You're like, well, I want to eat a bit, but they're not practical. They're not useful. We're, you know, I guess from our hunter-gatherer roots. Like, do you want to go out and, like, kill a bison? Nah. Then you'll starve. I do. Cool, you'll eat. There isn't an in-between, and we're not trained for in-betweens, but in-betweens are what we need. We need those grays and that contextual information. Because then we can decide maybe whether or not we should be affected by the news. We see some crazy stuff in the media, like, oh my God, everything's gone terribly wrong. Has it actually gone terribly wrong? What's the information inside it that tells me whether or not I need to personally react to that? Because being told you're on fire or you're not on fire doesn't really tell me how to feel.
I think the thing about the panic as well and the concern and scared and stuff, partly for me, comes down to the fact that you're not able to have those conversations. You know, because if you have those conversations, and we've said this loads of times, haven't we, about talking, you know, and it's pretty straightforward. It makes you feel better, or it makes you think through the situation and actually try and realize whether something is real or not, or how important it is. And I think that stagnation that's pushed forward about conversations and communication with people is essentially part of the problem.
Maybe, but it's why you have that conversation. Twitter plainly is not the place to have a conversation. It just isn't. You know, it's neither is the Guardian comments threads or Facebook public posts with people who you're actually not very close to, because it all gives the impression of intimacy. Because we're having
conversations
are by definition intimate, but they're not if you're doing it on the internet. This three people chatting, you know, in the pub or a pub adjacent space, which I guess this is. This is a place where you can have that conversation, because, you know, Wes probably isn't going to just punch you in the face and set fire to your house because you've expressed a view on NATO that isn't shared by the Guardian. You know, that's going to be okay. But if you're talking to Wes plus 20 other people who you don't know very well, but you've like added as friends randomly on Facebook, there's no reason why that conversation would go well. And yet we're told that is the place to have these conversations.
But most of the information you get is via routes where you can't have a conversation, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. You know, Nick, you were just saying then we're kind of almost trained to make these one or the other kind of opinions about things. That's kind of what I was saying earlier about why we're designed to make meaning and categorize and everything else. So you're right there. And whereas actually what would be helpful is to take this balanced, nuanced kind of point of view, figure it out and consider all the elements. And what I was nearly going to say is, but yeah, to do that, that means we have to engage with all of this information. And that's what we're saying is difficult sometimes because there's so much of it. But yeah, but then you've both ended up talking about this idea of, yeah, having conversations, which makes sense, doesn't it? But yeah, what we perhaps aren't great at is having these conversations like this, but maybe getting pulled into the conversations online, which just aren't designed to do the same thing or can't give us the same thing, can they? That's where all that division comes in as well. But
I don't think, yeah, I suspect like they can't give us that. And maybe it's an aspect of receiving information, you know, and maybe it's an aspect of how we're educated and stuff, you know, at school, although there are discussion points, you're mostly just fed information and told this is the information. It's not good training for thinking about it. We've got it a bit in history, like, you know, where could the biases be in these newspaper accounts, whatever? Well, they're Nazis, so they're probably not, you know, trustworthy on most things. But still, we don't get it. And although a lot of sources will encourage you to, like, you know, the classic, go and do your own research. Like, well, that's insane. You've been given information on 1,000 different topics that you're not told are all very important and that are affecting your life right now. Chaos, panic, go and investigate all of these things using what sources? Oh, the sources that are you that have told me that I need to panic and read about this. This is madness. You can't investigate all those things. You can't look into all these things. I've done my own research on YouTube. That's exactly why people end up watching a lunatic babbling for an hour about vaccines, putting, you know, 5G in your blood or whatever, because that, the kind of critical thinking and research that's required is both difficult.
And do you know, I've actually like that for years around here in this village, you know, because I get some decent reception.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. If you get Infinity Fiber straight into your bloodstream, yeah, this would be
much easier. That vaccine.
Well, that would be genuinely good as a vaccine against non-connectedness. I think that's the opposite of what we're saying. We don't want a vaccine. We want a vaccine to protect us from interconnectivity, not the other way around. That'd be really bad. But, you know, this. So why are we supposed to have experts who can tell us, who can refine the information? We can be experts on certain topics. We can't be experts on everything. We're long beyond the point where you could have a Victorian polymath who was into everything and knew everything from, I don't know, how optics work to painting beautiful watercolors in the garden at the weekend. We're not at that point anymore. And there's too much information. And we're not given the tools. And it's hard to develop the tools to filter it out. And how do you choose what's important when we're told that everything is important? I don't see what you're supposed to do with all this information that we receive. So all you can do is try and filter some of it out. You know, you can choose to. I filter out sports information, for example, because I don't care. But on my like in my newsletter, my email newsletter I get every day from wherever it is, there's a good 2,000 words just on sport, which I take great pleasure in just skimming past. And that genuinely lifts my heart that I haven't read about who's footballing or whatever, because I know that I've cut out a chunk of information I don't care about, I can't do anything with. But
I was talking to a guy recently about the Fringe in Edinburgh, and a really, really nice bloke who's got lots of experience. And I was chatting to him about, you know, whether he should advertise or not in the Edinburgh Fringe Guide, and the actual massive publication that has like half of it is like comedy. And he just basically said the same thing as you. As soon as he gets it, he rips out the first half section and throws it in the bin because he has no interest in comedy whatsoever. Literally. No, just,
The other way that would fit with what we're talking about is that there would become a point where you would have to question the use of advertising in that space, because it would just be in and amongst a barrage of a whole bunch of other adverts, so it would get lost, wouldn't it? Yep. And so actually people would just end up finding what they're looking for anyway, and not what they're not looking for, which kind of goes against advertising, because you're trying to put yourself out there to new, fresh eyes. And in the same way, that's, I suppose that's kind of fits with what we're talking about, doesn't it? Is that maybe this is another thing that people do in the face of lots and lots of information. They're either overexposed and then it has some kind of negative thing, like they're triggered or panicked or worried or whatever, or confused, or they check out of it intentionally, or they become desensitized to it. But maybe the other thing that they do is they start to think, okay, yeah, but then just go and look for the things that fit for them or kind of make sense to them. You know? Maybe that's another thing.
It's classic marketing, though, isn't it? You know, if everywhere you go, just say that, you know, white cats are disgusting. White cats are disgusting. And it's absolutely never, it's on the radio, on the TV. And, you know, you eventually think in your head, white cats are disgusting. You just do. I mean, you question the fact of whether you like them or not. I don't know why I said white cats, but
that was weird, but cool.
They are disgusting.
but yeah, you're right. I mean, this stuff does, it does get in your head. And I don't know how you're supposed to stop it from getting in your head. Maybe you're not. Maybe the intention is to get it into your head. It's like the world's worst subliminal marketing because it's for news, not selling something. Maybe it's selling a worldview. Maybe it's selling a belief in the capitalist world order or whatever. You know, actually, all these things are fine. We are defending, you know, freedom and humanity by making you choose from 150 different televisions whenever you want to go and buy a TV. That makes the world a better place, even though it makes it incredibly stressful in a purposeless way. You know, I don't care. Just give me a television that fits in my room and shows programs. I don't want to choose.
All I'm going to do is rewatch certain programs based on my mood anyway. So
yeah, really, you've stressed me out so much. I'm back to Buffy now. Yeah, good Lord. Yeah, that's what this world's doing to me. But I don't know.
Where are we landing with this? We are in the last few minutes. So
we are in a pull out the plug to the internet and stop going outside, I think.
I think, you know, just trying to give yourself some space to actually think things through rather than just being constantly battered by somebody else speaking at you. I think, you know.
I wonder if actually there's a better middle ground to that. Obviously, my idea would be going and living in a hut on a hill somewhere where there's no one for like 200 miles. That sounds phenomenal almost all of the time. But I wonder if a better way is to take this information and rather than trying to figure out by ourselves, which I don't think we can do, other than because I don't think we have the content and the context or the skill sets, is choose a bunch of people who you do chat with that isn't online, that isn't in a confrontational, exposed space, where you can have these chats and go, dude, what the hell is going on? Because that admission of incompetence and ignorance is also seized upon in the online world. It's like, why don't you know? Why don't you understand what's going on? Oh, you don't either. You just think you do. But the chance to sit down and just have a chat with people go, I don't understand why we have nuclear weapons, for example, which is a perfectly reasonable statement because it doesn't make sense. Doing that with a bunch of friends or family members, you know, people that you know you can have a chat with and won't be judged for, and you won't be called upon to go to war with each other. I think that's the way to get through this sort of information debacle. And talking about it, admitting it's like, dude, I'm overwhelmed. There's too much information. I can't hack it. I can't handle it. I can't do anything with it. Being honest with ourselves and with other people about whether or not we can receive this content that we can't act upon, in any way, especially since we're apparently not supposed to go over and join the war either. According to our politicians, who knew? Nothing you can do. I think we should admit it that we don't understand it. We can't do anything with it. And please stop screaming in my ear. Something like that.
Yeah, it's funny because just as you were talking about the, you know, like talking to each other and stuff like that helps. I was thinking, yeah, of course it does. It can only help. And then I was thinking, I think lots of people are doing that at the moment. I've had lots of conversations with people. I always am having conversations with people, and it's popped up in my day-to-day conversations. Mm. It's popped up in my work with clients as well. Mm. But then I immediately had the thought of lots of people doing that. Oh, isn't it crazy what's going on at the moment? Actually could contribute to panic, couldn't it? So it's a bit of a funny one. So there is something about having safe spaces to go to kind of talk with real people about things. I think there is something to be said about what we mentioned earlier about trying to take some kind of conscious control over what we're exposed to and what we engage in. But I think we're talking about kind of what we do with this information. That seems really crucial. And maybe that's probably the hardest thing is to try and that process that you go through, Matt, of having to go through the process to then land in a more balanced, measured place with it. And you were almost suggesting that it was a bad thing that you had to do that every time. And I suppose I'm thinking, no, that's good. Keep doing it. Maybe it'll get quicker and easier and more automatic. But yeah, maybe we need to be consciously doing that. Because the flip side is to go into autopilot or have a knee-jerk reaction, isn't it?
Mm. And those definitely don't help you. Not in the long term. They might do very briefly. Oh, God, what a messy and interesting topic.
Yeah, except we managed to kind of talk about it quite neatly, I think, and we didn't get wrapped up in too much of one thing or another thing, and we didn't kind of go off the rails of it, did we?
Not entirely. We've definitely got one wheel on the track, I think. Sure, it's an 84-carriage train, but one wheel is still on the track, that's the thing. That will be fine. All right, should we wrap it up there, boys?
I guess that's us till next time, yeah, for an in-person meet.
Yes, yes. That sounds good. All right, guys. Well, if you've been listening and you found that interesting, or you have an opinion or an idea that you'd like to share, or a brutal criticism of a very black and white kind of what we've been doing, then we'd love to hear that. Though if you have more nuanced thoughts, that would also be very welcome. As I think we're landing on nuance being important if difficult to express. Please do share those on our Facebook page, or you can email us through our podcast page.
Barrages with information via Facebook. Email.
Overloads with questions. We'll definitely know.
Interested people's opinion on white cats. That would be good.
Yeah,
it's a widespread thing or not?
Or on Matt's badger habits. All of these things are very welcome. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other.
See you later.
Bye.
If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And this poor little boy, grounded by the sun, paler by his side, but something's right.